That is absolutely awesome. All four of those songs were intertwined. And wasn't they awesome? If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Proverbs, at least at the beginning. Then if you can, get your hand over into the book of Exodus, chapter number 8, and we'll go there secondly. But I want to deal with Proverbs for a moment. Now, you folks that are listening by way of live stream, Chad mentioned it, but I want to mention it again. Will you push the share button? And folks in the auditorium, when you leave the auditorium, would you push the share button? Because I'm going to be preaching a message this morning. Your friends need to hear. Your family needs to hear. And our country needs to hear. And I'm on the edge of something this morning, and I've got a burden on my heart. And this passage of scripture is on my heart, and I want to preach it this morning. And I'll be dealing with this one passage, but then I'll take you to the law of first mention, where this word that I want to magnify this morning is mentioned for the first time. So would you stand for a moment and turn to Proverbs 27 and verse number 1, just one verse. I'll read it, pray, give an introduction to that verse, and then take you to the Exodus 8 and read a few verses and bring a thought that's on my heart to support. I want you to know, think about this. We're standing on the last Sunday of the year. And last year, we stood on the last Sunday of the year, not knowing, dear God, what we were going to be hit with in 2020. As some of you in this room have been hit with things in 2020, that when the last Sunday of last year happened, you had no idea your life was going to be thrown in such turmoil. But it has. And we have a big problem. And I want to tell you what it is. We think we can handle everything. But see, we just don't know what 2021 is going to be like. Somebody help me preach. If you have my scholar Bible has this at the heading of this chapter. It's called The Wrath of a Fool. I'll tell you who a foolish person is. He's trying to wait till tomorrow when he ought to deal with some things today. Somebody help me preach. Look what it says in chapter 27, verse number 1, if you're there. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How many in this church family can say, boy, isn't that the truth? Yes. Tell that to the record number of my church family that we've had deaths last year. Tell that to the people that was diagnosed with cancer or some other disease. They had no clue at the end of the year what they'd be facing in 2020. And you don't know. But I want to tell you this. If you got something to do for God, and you got something to do in your family, and you need to tell somebody I'm sorry, and you need to get rid of your bitterness, you need to do it now and not wait till tomorrow. Our Father, would you please anoint your man of God today that I can preach a message that will wake up folks, enlighten folks, and stir folks, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Now, let me give you three things about this passage, and Go ahead and turn over to Exodus 8 and get ready for that reading. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. I see three things in that passage just by way of introduction. First of all, tomorrow is uncertain. You know, we had last year in January our best year in the church ever. February, the best year in the church ever. Attendance, giving, and in every which way, souls saved and baptisms. And then the whole thing blew up right before us. And buddy, guess what? It woke me up. And it ought to woke you up that the future is uncertain. And if it's uncertain, we better take care of today before we try to take care of tomorrow. And by the way, it's awful. It's unwise to try to worry about tomorrow when you got things you need to deal with right now. And I want to say to you, it's not only unwise and uncertain, it's unholy. Because he said, boast not of tomorrow. Unholy. It's an ungodly thing to look out yonder and make your plans, but not take care of yourself right now. Now I want you to do me a favor. Flip back in your Bible. I want to take you to a story. The law of first mention, did I say that? Did I say it, Sean? Oh, I'm interested in the law of first mention. When is the first time tomorrow is mentioned in your King James Bible? And it actually is broke down in two words, but it's actually the same word. The law of first mention. Turn to Exodus chapter number 8. I'll take you, and I will try not to do a lot of introduction. I'm going to take you to Egypt. I'm going to take you, and we're going to be introduced to a great man named Moses, who spent 40 years on the backside of a desert. And God showed up in his life in a mighty burning bush. By the way, sometimes God shows up in mysterious ways in our life. Somebody help, might not be a burning bush, but it's a burning circumstance. And he told Moses. Moses had an encounter with God. You know what we need on this last Sunday of the year? We need to have an encounter with God. And what God said to him, Moses, I'm going to use you. And Moses, you know what Moses done? He done what you do and I do. He started making excuses. I can't do it. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. I'm not able. I can't do it. I want to say something to you. You might mark down this quote. God, oh, hear this. I want you to hear. Oh, this is good. Well, it's good. God says, I'm not interested in calling the equipped, but I am interested in equipping the called. Somebody help me preach. God said, I'll be with you. I'll go with you. And I want you to go down to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And he's going to be hard-headed. He's going to be stiff-necked. But you stand up to him. And by the way, Pharaoh wasn't going to let him go freely. But I want y'all to know, Pharaoh was going to let him go eventually. Because I want you to know there ain't a man, woman in this room can disrupt the will of God in your life. Hey, by the way, whether you like it or not, God is going to have his way one way or another. Somebody help me preach. You know what God done? He sent four plagues. He turned the water into blood. Could you imagine turning your faucet on and getting a glass of blood? Could you imagine going into your shower and getting a shower of blood? Could you imagine, ladies, having your nice rest time to soak in a bathtub and it was blood? Blood in the fountains, blood everywhere. God said, let my people go. Now we find ourselves in Exodus chapter number 8. And I want you to look at verses 6 through 15. And well, glory. I got some preaching on me this morning. Look what the Bible said. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, and they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thy houses and that they may remain in the river only? And look what he said, first time. And he said, tomorrow. He got frogs in his soup. How many of y'all don't like frogs? Raise your hand. I ain't liking frogs, Rich. I'm talking they and them little slimy, them slimy, ungodly, filthy things. In the soup, in the kitchen, in the refrigerator, in your car, in your bed, under your blankets. Frogs. I'm talking about the kind that put warts on you. I'm talking about the nasty, 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 nasty frogs. Listen to this question. Pharaoh, when would you like for me to take care of it? How many does this blow your mind? Tomorrow. He could have had it then. Tomorrow. Somebody help me here. Tomorrow. He could have had it at that very moment. All he had to say right now. I want to say something to you. Egypt is a type of the world. And Pharaoh is a type of the devil. And I want every one of y'all to hear me and hear me plainly. Tomorrow is the devil's word. Somebody help me preach right there. Tomorrow is the devil's word. As a pastor, I want to ask you, when you going to get saved? And you say, tomorrow. When you going to stop sinning? And you say, tomorrow. When you going to fix your marriage? And you say, tomorrow. How many marriages are done messed up, done away with because a man and a woman 10 years ago or 50 years ago ought to have took care of their problem, but they let it ride. And there's so much water on the bridge now, there ain't no repairs. You know why? They said, tomorrow. Am I preaching? Hey, husband. Hey, mama. You know why your man a mess you in? You ought have got right 10 years ago. You ought have got right a long time ago. Now you're facing divorce. Now you're facing breaking up your whole life. You know why? You waited till tomorrow. And ain't no pastor can fix you. Ain't no counselor can fix you. Because you done waited too long. Somebody help me. Some of you say, bro, I quit tithing, but I'll start tomorrow. God help you. Preacher, boy, this pandemic woke me up. There's a lot of people now that should be home and underlying conditions, and they ought to take care of themselves. But there's some young'uns and some people that are healthy as I am. I'm 69 years old and I'm getting at it. That's healthy and done said, I'll come back when the pandemic's over. You don't have no clue. It may last 10 years. We don't know what's going to go on. What we need to do is get in church and do our best to keep it out of church. And before you get tired of serving God, and before you get used to a coffee cup and pajamas and never want to come into church again, don't wait till tomorrow. Every pastor in the churches today ought to be saying that to their congregation. Shame on people that can go to Kroger's and Walmart and everywhere else and not knock on the church door. When there's nothing more essential than church, nothing more needful than church, nothing more helpful than church. By the way, we've had some of our church family get it, but not one of them got it from here. Hello? I wasn't going to preach on that. Somebody ought to preach it. Let me give you four things and we'll go. What caused this man to make that kind of decision? Four things and I'll be done. First of all, go back to chapter 5 and verse 2. Just go back there a moment. He had a prideful, listen to this, Chad. He had a prideful disposition. Look what it said in verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And look what Pharaoh said. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I'll tell you who he is. He's the one that can put you on the bench. He's the one that can stop your existence. He's the one that can handle anything you got to dish out at him. He had a ruling demand. God, don't tell me anything. You know what? I got people right now. Oh, they probably already turned the live stream off because they didn't like me saying they ought to be out the church instead of on live stream unless they're underlining condition. And did you all hear me say, ain't none of them ought to be here until they get well. But I want to tell you what I'm talking about, the healthy. I'm talking about the people that can do better. Somebody help me preach. But here's our attitude. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Ain't no preacher going to tell me what to do. Ain't no deacon going to tell me what to do. And by the way, I probably can't do it, but there's a God one day you're going to listen to that will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Or if you're lost, you're going to stand at the white throne judgment. You may have a lot of pride, but your pride may take you to a lake of fire, a burning fire, and you may say, I'm not going to be saved till I'm ready, and God can't make me to be saved. No, he won't. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13, just go over there real quick. And I see a repeated disregard. Bible said, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto him, as the Lord had said. By the way, if you study scripture, Pharaoh hardened his heart before God hardened his heart. Why would Pharaoh not want the frogs out? Why? Because he had a hard heart. And he had repeatedly disregarded God. I want to ask you people on air right now. I want to ask every one of you, how many times God got knocked at your door? How many times has God kind of slammed the door on you? How many times God kind of shake you up to try to get you to respond to him? How long does he have to do it? Tell you what else was wrong with him. He had a rebellious demeanor. He said, see that I hearken to. I want to say something to you. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Your rebellion is as bad as what witches do. I wonder how many Christians, how many sinners, how many politicians, how many people out in that world that's totally rebellious toward God, raising their hand to God, saying, oh, you're not going to do anything. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Secondly, I'm quickly. Not only do I see a prideful disposition, I see pointless delay. Now, how many of y'all agree with me? If they frogs everywhere, it's the dumbest thing in the world to wait. Let me ask you a question. If you're going to die and burn and go into hell, how many of y'all agree with me that it is a pointless thing to delay? If sin as a Christian is going to take you down a road that's going to destroy your family and your life and your children, and you're going to get messed up because of it, I say to you, it is pointless to delay. First of all, a miserable scene. I don't know about you, bunch of frogs laying in the bed with me is miserable. Having frogs in my coffee cup is miserable. Having frogs jumping out of my refrigerator is miserable. And why would you delay getting rid of the frogs if it's that miserable? And I'm talking to people right now that they're thinking about suicide, their life is upside down, and they are miserable, and they're not doing anything about it because they're saying, let me wait till tomorrow. And then it was a messy thing. By the way, frogs produce slime. Messy. Messy. By the way, the wrong music you listen to is messy. You getting into pornography has messed up your life. Your rocky marriage that's about ready to end up in a divorce is going to be messy. Messy. And it all could have been prevented if you didn't wait till tomorrow. Every bit of it. And then look at verse 14. It was a major stank. Look what it says. And the Lord said, let me make sure I'm in the right place. 8:14. If you're there, say amen. Whew. And they gathered them up together upon heaps. They start gathering the frogs up. And the Bible said, and the land stank. By the way, sometimes life stinks. I've been thinking about this country. How many of you agree with me we're in a mess? My heart broke for that maniac that blowed up that buildings in Nashville. You know, they talk about every life matter, and they do. My heart breaks at the over 50 or 60 policemen that's been gunned down because of some movement. My heart breaks. Somebody help me. You know what sin does? It stinks. You know what it does? It's rank. men stink. I wonder how many churches, because they have compromised, their ministry stinks. How many families tonight who don't have prayer in their home, don't read the Bible, their family stinks. Number three, I see a presumptuous determination. You know what he determined? He determined, Rich, he thought he could make it to tomorrow. That's an automatic survival. Can I illustrate something? A personal illustration. Dr. Kinder's my doctor. He'll probably remember this. I went into his office a day after Jubilee several years ago. He checked my blood pressure. It was 62 over 42. And my pulse was running well under 40. He said, you're in trouble, remember? He done an EKG, and it said I was in trouble. And here's what Dr. Kinder done. He said, that was Thursday. He said, here's what I want you to do, Pastor. We're going to put a heart monitor on you over the weekend. And we're going to observe you. Monday afternoon, I can tell you the time, at 2:30, after a hard day at work and a lot of pressure, he didn't call me. The people that were taking the charts about my heart called me. And they said, Mr. Smith, you need to get to the hospital right now, because you're ready to have a cardiac arrest. And you should have had it already this weekend. Your pulse is going down to 24 and up to 160 all in the same minute. And you know what I said to him? I got too much going on here at work, and I can't go. And you know what they said? I said, can I put this off? And what they said to me? You can't wait till tomorrow. You may be dead. I got in my car, finally got to home. Miss Marguerite took me to Charleston Memorial Hospital. They had to thicken my blood quickly to put a pacemaker in me, put me on medicine to keep my pulse from going. I got cyanetic something syndrome that goes up to 190, 200, and down to 24. But you know what Preacher Smith said? Can I wait? Can I wait? And by the way, most of you wouldn't wait to go to the doctor, but you will wait to get right with God. Here's what he thought. I wonder how many people think this morning as I'm winding the ship down. Wonder how many people think, Michael, I'll get another shot. I'll get another chance to be saved. I'll get another chance to repent from my backslidden state. I'll get another chance to apologize. I'll get another chance to get rid of my bitterness. I'll get another chance to forgive. Don't wait till tomorrow. Lastly, I'm done. I see a provocative decision. First of all, I see inevitable rejection. Let me say something to you. You may say, tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, but really what you're saying is this, no. That's what you're saying. You may be saying tomorrow, but actually you're not. You're saying no. No, I'll get saved tomorrow. No, I'll start tithing tomorrow. No, I'll start coming to church again tomorrow. No, what you're saying is, no, you ain't going to do any of that. Now, I want you to notice as I'm closing. I see an intensified repercussion. Jeff, you know what happened? He went back on his word. And by the way, if you think you can defy God, I'll tell you what God will do. He'll just turn the heat up. You know what God done? He sent in lights then. Then he sent flies. Then he sent darkness. Then he sent hail. And eventually, Pharaoh's boy would be laying on a slab, getting ready to go to the morgue. And I wonder how many kids got to be lost because parents said, I want to wait till tomorrow to make sure my kids do right. I wonder how many families are broke up right now because they wanted to wait till tomorrow. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell you what's going to happen. God's going to put the heat on you. Am I doing all right? Then I see, lastly, ironic reciprocity. The first time the word tomorrow was used by Pharaoh. It was a type of the devil. But if you study Exodus 8:28, 3, 29, 9, 5, 9, 18, 10, 4, God, when Pharaoh started wanting something, God said, tomorrow. You know what we do? Look at me. This is a quote. I want somebody to take this quote down. We drag our feet when it comes to obeying God. But when we want him to show up in our life in a hurry to help us, we're begging him to come. Am I preaching? I need to get all this message done. I'm almost done. I want to tell you what God's word is. God's word is today. You remember when he showed up in Jericho and there's a little short man that crawled up in a tree to see him? You know what he said to him, Jeremy? Today, come down right now, for today I'm going to show up at your house. There's some of us needing to show up in our house. There was a thief hanging on the cross beside of him. They said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Whoop. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. If you get saved, he'll put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Beyond now is the day. Beyond now is the time. Listen to me. Quit putting it off. I want to ask you. I want you to be honest with me. How many of you are in a heap of a mess right now? Because years ago, you ought to handle something, and you didn't. And now it's come back to get you. And you can't blame a preacher. You can't blame anybody but you. You know, when marriages come and go in the church and we see divorces, all of us say, you know, we might take this side or that side, but I'm going to tell you, it'd be a good idea for you not to take no sides. Because here's what probably happened. It's a long time ago. There was some mess in their family that a daddy ought to, or a husband ought to been a leader and took care of. Hello? And he kept not taking care of it. And it eventually blew up. And everybody said, well, man, I wish it would have been solved. By the way, now you want to get it fixed. Now you want to take care of it. What about yesterday? There's people in this room. You're starting 2020 or on air. Your marriage is on the rocks. Dear God, don't wait till tomorrow. Amen. Some of you listen that's got sin deep in your life. Oh, maybe you ain't drinking or smoking dope or on porno. Or maybe you are. But you have unforgiveness. You got bitterness. And here's what you're thinking. Well, I'll get right when they get right. No. Forgiveness ain't for them. It's for you. And if you don't forgive, it's going to swell up and you'll become bitter. And you know why you will? You're just like a Ahithophel. You waited. And bitterness come. I'm going to tell you, on our society, I deal with more bitter people than I care to deal with. Because something's happened. And instead of getting it right, and instead of just simply saying, I'm sorry, forgive me. Or say, I forgive you. No, we keep it down here. And our intentions is, I'll get it right, but I'm not going to get it right now. How many of us last year went into this year so confident? Oh, yes, we did. And none of us knew we was going to get the rug dropped up from under us. None of us knew that this church would be shut down for 2 months. None of us knew that our whole world would be turned upside down. And some of us right now are afraid to take a shot, and others want to get a shot. I don't know where you stand on that, but I want to tell you what, you need not wait till tomorrow. God help us. I want to ask you, heads bowed, and I'm done. I want you to be honest with me. How many in this room know you're saved? Raise them up. You know. If you don't know, don't raise them. Sip them up. Thank you. How many of you is not sure you're saved, but you need to be? Sip your hand up. Maybe you're a church member without God. Sip your hand up. If you're listening to our Way of Life stream, sip your hand up. How many of you right now, there's things in your life right now that need to be taken care of a long time ago and need to be taken care of now, but you've been putting it off. How many's got something that's undone in your life that ought to have been taken care of that you haven't? Maybe it's just forgiving somebody. Maybe it's getting rid of bitterness. Maybe it's an alcohol problem or a drug problem or pornographic material problem or a problem in your home. Or you're just not even sure you're saved. You don't have the fruit of it. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, pray for me. There's some stuff in my life. Thank you. How many just be honest? Thank you. How many just be honest? There's some things I hadn't done, Preach. I wonder how many just come around and join Pastor Chad and those at the altar and say, you know what? Before next year, I'm going to get some stuff right now that I can be confident as I enter in to 2020 or 2021. People are coming to the altar. Stand with me. You ought to come. Bring your wife. Bring your children. Dear God, when's the last time you told your kid I love you? You put your arm around them. Don't wait. Our Father, thank you for this message. Lord, deal with people's hearts right now. God, that we can get a start of a revival. All of us, I had to repent before I came here today. God, help us. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Come on.